Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get started. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the chance once again to assemble in your house this morning. I pray that you would use this sermon, Lord, to be a help to each of us. I think many of us will be able to identify with the struggle and the issues that it can present sometimes in our lives. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to recognize that and that we would be willing to address it today if needed. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may remember that last week we began looking at this letter that Paul wrote to an individual by the name of Philemon. In doing so, we looked at the first few verses. And here's what I shared with us, just so that we could have a little bit of understanding of the context and what was going on and what was taking place, who Paul was writing to. I reminded us that Philemon was not a fellow pastor, and yet he was a man that Paul loved dearly. I said that Philemon was not a missionary, but he was someone that Paul considered to be a fellow laborer. And then I said this, that if you were to be careless with the terms, if you were to be careless in how you said this, you might say something like this, that Philemon was just a church member, and yet Philemon was someone that Paul said he thanked God for always. And so we realized that Paul had this very special relationship with this man named Philemon. And the reason that Paul loved him and appreciated him in the manner in which he did was because he said that Philemon loved God and he loved the saints, and that would have been manifested in his actions. Past that, it said of Philemon that he was a man of faith, that he was a faithful man. And then past that, it said this of Philemon, that he was an encourager of the saints. And so it was because of these things that Philemon would have likely considered to be small things that Paul said those things are the things that make you such a blessing and an encouragement to me. And so I tried to remind us last week that if we want to be a blessing to those who are spiritually minded, if we want to be a blessing to those who have a heart for God and who have a desire to be involved in the things of God, if we want to be an encouragement, then we need to be people who love God, who love the saints, who are men and women of faith, that we are faithful to the things of God, and that we strive to encourage others. If we will do those things, I promise you, you will be an encouragement to like-minded, spiritually minded individuals. So that in mind, this morning we're going to continue in this study of Philemon. If you've not yet found your place there, I would encourage you to turn there. As we make our way into this message, I want to begin by borrowing from someone that you may not expect me to borrow from as we enter into this sermon. I may have borrowed from him in the past, and if I have, please forgive me, but there is a point to this and as to why I am using this as an example. I think the year was 1980 that a man by the name of Kenny Rogers recorded a song entitled The Gambler. Have you ever heard that song? It was a popular song for quite some time. I went back and refreshed my memory just a little bit about this song and what it was all about. And if you're not familiar with the song, I'll just give you the context of it real quick. It was an old man trying to give some young man some advice. So you have an older man trying to give this younger man some advice, and here is the phrase that most people are familiar with, or the phrases if you know the song, and that is this. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. It's powerful lyrics right there. Maybe one of the great hymns of country music. Now again, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. What was this older man in this song trying to tell this younger man? He was trying to say this, son, You have to exercise some discernment in life. Son, you have to exercise some discretion in life. You can't handle every situation the exact same way. You can't approach every situation you find yourself in the exact same manner. If you just go to what you always do and what you're familiar with and what you're comfortable with, son, it really could hurt you at some point in the future. Now, as you think about the simple principle of that song, I want us to think about this, and you know this to be true, but in this life, you and I cannot approach every situation in the exact same way. As you and I go through life, we're going to find ourselves in situations that are similar, maybe in nature, but yet they're also going to be different because no two set of circumstances are ever identically alike. And so there is always a need for you and I to exercise discernment and discretion in the different situations we find ourselves in. But knowing that we need to exercise discernment and discretion, I think if we were honest, here's what we would have to admit. That can be difficult at times. Why is that difficult at times? Because most of us have what I'll refer to this morning as a default setting. That this is what we just kind of go to naturally in different circumstances of life. Where there needs to be some discretion, where there needs to be discernment, well, that can be difficult and that can be challenging and that could require maybe more effort on our part. So it's easier to just go to our default setting, so to speak, and just respond or react in the same fashion every time. And if we do that, here is what all of us should know by now, that if we are constantly going back to our default mode, it hurts us at different times. Because again, we cannot handle every situation the exact same way. Now, someone may say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this morning, let me just share something with you. I know I've shared this in the past, but I'm explaining this so that you understand why this kind of got my attention. But I have said before that over the years of my Christian life, I have read through the scripture many times, and sometimes I have done it more out of obligation than desire. And you've probably been there at different times in your spiritual life. It wasn't your hunger for the Word of God that caused you to be in the Word, but you felt obligated or required to be in the Word. And so this has happened to me, as I'm sure it has happened to you at different times. I've read through the Scripture and I've read certain thoughts, I've read certain passages that I didn't understand, but because I had to get done with the chapter, I just read it and kept on moving. I didn't have time to understand what I was reading. I just needed to read it. Okay? So through my years of reading through the scripture, I have read the verses we're going to look at on many different occasions, but because I didn't have time to understand it, I just read it and kept on moving. So to give us just a little bit more context of where this letter is headed with Paul toward Philemon, understand this, that Paul will soon be asking a favor of Philemon. He is going to be asking a favor of Philemon, and in their day, this would have been considered a sizable favor. Now, we'll deal with it or deal with the favor in a future message, but knowing that Paul is going to be asking a favor of Philemon, knowing that Paul has some desire and a hope of everything being resolved in the right fashion, here's what we're going to see Paul do. He's going to exercise discretion and discernment in how he approaches the favor he'll soon be asking. So notice in verse number 8 what Paul said. He said, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Let's read that one more time, and I'm going to try to make a point here. Paul said, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." I want us to think about this, and let's just be honest, that if we don't take some time to really look at these two verses, we have no idea what Paul just said. I don't talk that way, you don't talk that way, and the people we run with don't talk that way. So if all we're doing is reading as a means of getting our Bible reading done, and we're not stopping and breaking this apart and looking as to what Paul is really saying, then we have no idea what he is saying and communicating. So this morning I want us to break it down just a little bit and look at some of these words. So I want to begin in verse number 8, where Paul used the word, or the two words, to enjoin. Now again, if you're like me, you have no idea what these words or what this word enjoin really means. So here is what it means to try to help us understand this. It means to charge someone to do something or to command someone to do something. All right, so Paul is talking now about the ability to charge someone or to command someone to do something. And in verse number 8, he said this, "to enjoin thee that which is convenient." To enjoin thee that which is convenient. Now, in our day, we have a decent or a mild understanding of what it means for something to be convenient, right? Yeah, we think so in our day. I mean, we know what convenient means in our day. It means something that might be easy, right? Or something that might not put a burden on someone. It might not require too much of the individual. How many of us have ever heard somebody say something like this? If it's convenient for you, would you be willing to do such and such? The idea is if it is easy, if this doesn't put you out, if this doesn't require too much of you, would you be willing to do it? Okay, that's what convenient means in our day, but it meant something different a few thousand years ago. So what did convenient mean at the time in which this was written and translated for our understanding? It means this, for something to be fit or appropriate. For something to be fit or appropriate, we might say it like this, it's the right thing to do. So here is what Paul is saying. He is saying this about what he is about to ask of Philemon, that he could enjoin thee that which is convenient, or he could charge him or command him to do what is fit or appropriate, or what is right. See, if you'll notice in verse number 8, here is what Paul said. He said, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ." What does it mean to be much bold? It just means this, to be very confident or to be frank or to be blunt. And so here is what Paul is saying. He is saying as a result of his position in Christ, who he is, he identifies himself in verse number 9 as being Paul the aged, who is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying this, that because of who he is in Christ, he said, "I could be bold," or "I could be confident," or "I could be blunt with you and charge you and command you to do what is right in this situation." Paul says, "I have that authority because of who I am in Christ, an apostle." But notice what he said in verse number 9 after acknowledging what he could have done with his apostolic authority. He said, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, what does that mean then in verse number 9? Okay, here's what we've got. We've got in verse number 9 saying this, rather than telling you what to do, rather than charging you, and rather than commanding you to do what is right, I am going to make my appeal to you on the basis of love. Rather than saying, Philemon, here is the situation, here is what needs to happen, and I am telling you, Philemon, this is what you will do in order to be right with God, Paul says, I am going to appeal to you on a couple of different levels around this topic of love. I am going to beseech you. I am going to appeal to you, not just in relation towards your love or in your love toward me, but in also your love toward God. I am going to beseech you to do what is right because of your love rather than my authority in your life. I want us to see this. Here's what Paul was doing as he is about to lay out his case, as he is about to make his request, as he is about to ask Philemon to do something that would have been a big thing in their day and in their culture. Here's what Paul is saying. He is saying, rather than just approaching it from apostolic authority, I'm going to approach it from a completely different angle and just say, because you love me and because you love the Lord, I am trusting that you will do the right thing in this situation. Now, this morning, I know we're not going to spend a long time on the scripture and trying to explain it again. I'm wanting us to understand the context of this as we make our way into the sermons in the future weeks. But I want us to see this. Paul said, rather than authority, we're using love in hopes of getting the right response. I want us to think about that thought for just a few moments this morning. And as we think about that thought, I want to begin with this thought. I know we've talked about it in the past, but I want to think about it again. And that is this, that over the course of our lives, every one of us are going to be entrusted with a measure of authority in some area. I thought somebody would agree with me on that, but maybe not. At some point in our lives, every one of us are going to be entrusted with some measure of authority. Is that not correct? It is absolutely correct. How do we know? Okay, well, let's consider a few situations, a few scenarios. If a parent has ever had more than one child, here's what's going to happen at some point. The parent is going to leave the house for a few moments, and when they do, here's what they will say to the kids. All right, you kids, you listen to whoever usually the oldest sibling is, and whatever they tell you to do, you better do it. Did you ever do anything like that in your home? Most of us did. Whenever our kids began getting to a certain age where we felt like we could leave them for a few minutes, Susie and I, we'd slip away for a little bit, maybe go grab lunch together, and we would say things like this to the girls, all right, now Nathan is in charge while we're gone, and you better do what Nathan says, and if you don't, he's going to tell us. You know what Nathan was entrusted with? He was entrusted with a measure of authority. As our girls have gotten older and they've wanted to make some money on their own, here is what they have done. They have ventured into the world of babysitting. And they've been hired by different parents over the years. And as our girls have gone into those homes where they're doing this babysitting of small children, here is what those girls, what Hannah and Leah have had, whether they realized it or not, is they had a measure of authority over the lives of those children they were babysitting. See, it happens to all of us. When you go to work and you actually keep a job and you actually apply yourself to it, here's what will happen. You'll move up the chain of command a little bit. When you move up the chain of command a little bit, what are you going to get? You're going to get a little bit of authority over the lives of other people. That's how it works. Somebody says, well, I've never worked outside the home, or I've never promoted much, and so I don't have much authority at work. Okay. If you've ever been a dad or you've ever been a mom, guess what you had? You had a measure of authority. You may not have felt like you did, but you really did have a measure of authority there in the home. So would we agree that as we go through life, all of us experience a measure of authority over other people? Okay. With that realization in mind, understand, please, I know this and you know this, we all know this, that sometimes authority being exercised in a person's life is absolutely necessary. I am the authority, you are not, and you better do what I told you to do. I expect you to do this, and if you don't, there will be consequences. There's a need for that at times, right? I'm just going to say to you, for those of you who may not fully grasp this or may not want to admit it, I'll just say it so that you know what is entitled to you as a parent. You are allowed to be the authority. Our culture doesn't seem to understand that these days, but as a dad and as a mom, you're allowed to tell your kids what to do and expect the kids to do it. And if they don't do it, for there to be some consequences to it. You are allowed to do that. You are allowed to make your kids mind no matter what. I can do that? Yes, you can do that. It is a God-given position of authority in your life. You can make your kids mind. It's okay for the boss at work to be the boss at work. The boss is not there to be everybody's friend and to be everybody's pal and to be everybody's buddy. No, it's okay to be the boss at work if it's necessary. I'm just saying, with authority comes the right to exercise that authority at different times, at different situations. But if we've enjoyed or been given this responsibility of authority, then here is what we should know by now. That you cannot handle every situation the exact same way just because you have authority. Sometimes some discretion and discernment has to be exercised, and just because you and I have the authority doesn't mean that that's the way that we need to handle the situation with all the authority available to us. See, again, here's the Apostle Paul, and he knew who he was in Christ. He knew that he was an apostle. He knew that he was an ambassador. Paul knew who he was and the authority that he carried. He knew that he could tell Philemon, this is what you've got to do in order to be right with God. But what did he do? He took a different approach because he knew it would be best in that situation. Now, I'm just saying to you and I this morning, by way of a reminder, and I know what the response is going to be in just a moment in your mind. I get it, and I'm not offended by it, but I'm going to say this to us. Sometimes we have got to change our approach to get the same response that we want from people. So here's what we've got to do. Sometimes we can't just use all of our authority and we can't exercise all the power that we've been entrusted with. Sometimes we need to appeal to people on the basis of love. Listen now, on the basis of love more than the basis of who we know we are in that situation. Sometimes we have to use love to accomplish the same result. Now, here's what I know. We all know that. I thought we all knew that. Come on, at least nod your head or something. We all know that, right? I can't handle every situation the exact same way and expect to get the most favorable response every time. We all know that. And here's what I think most of us would like to think of ourselves. Most of us would like to think that we're very good at exercising that in our lives. Wouldn't you like to think that of yourself? That's sure what I'd like to think of myself. I'd like to think that, man, whenever I walk into a situation, though similar, it's still a little bit different. I'd like to think of myself that I'm going to be very careful and very cautious on how I approach this to make sure that I get the most desired effect or result from this situation. I'd like to think that that's how I'm going to handle it. I'd like to think that every time I walk into a new situation here, or a new situation here, or a new situation here, I'm going to walk in all cool, calm, and just ready to just handle this with great wisdom and discernment. Because I know when to hold them and I know when to fold them. Because I'm pretty good at this. You think you're pretty good at it too, don't you? Oh, you would have if I hadn't set you up like that. I'm just saying, most of us want to believe that we're pretty good in exercising that discernment. But you know what I've discovered about myself? Maybe you haven't discovered this about yourself yet, but I promise you it's true. And that is this, that most of us have a default mode that we tend to go to in certain situations of life. And if we're not careful, here is what happens. If we're used to any measure of authority in our lives, if we're used to being the one having that authority, oftentimes, here is what happens. We go back to that default setting of telling people what to do rather than appealing to them on the basis of some kind of love and some kind of affection in hopes of getting the same response. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, Brother Kyle. So would you please illustrate that for me for just a moment? Because I bet I could be helped if you would illustrate what it is you're talking about. So, here's an example. According to Scripture, I'm the head of the house. I am the head of the house. What does that mean then? It means this, that Susie is not the head of the house. She's not. Somebody says, I can't believe you would say such a thing in the 21st century. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. The Bible hadn't changed. I'm the head of the house. Susie is not the head of the house. But here's the fact. I am an idiot if my only approach to her is with my authority rather than with love. Now, there may be some times that I have to say, listen, babe, we're not doing that, okay? I know that that's not what you wanted to hear. I know that that's not what you're excited about. I understand that, but this is one of those moments where I'm going to have to exercise my authority, and we're not doing that. There may be some times where I have to do that, but more times than not, I've discovered if I will appeal from the basis of love, I still get the desired result without the bitterness or the resentment or the animosity toward me. But if I'm not careful, you know what my default mode is? Susie, I told you to do this. Hey, Susie, I told you to do this. Susie, take care of this. Susie, take care of this. Susie, do this. And you know what I'm doing? I'm bossing and I'm telling and I'm charging and I'm commanding and I'm expecting and you better and you better and you better and you better and you better. And she might, but I'll not get the same response by way of spirit if I don't appeal from love. Could we just be honest as men and admit that maybe sometimes we struggle with that? because we are the man. And maybe we're used to giving instructions at work, and so we come home and we forget that it doesn't need to work at home like maybe it works at work. Let's just be honest, if we want to move past that one for a moment, let's just be honest and admit this, that sometimes we struggle with it with our kids. Because see, when they were little, they needed someone in their lives telling them, hey, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. They needed that. But they're not 10 and 12 and 14 and 16 years old anymore. They're young adults now. Are we hearing this? And so what do we have a tendency to do sometimes with our kids? We have a tendency sometimes with our kids to tell them what to do when the result could be just the same with an appeal with love at the root of it. But because we're so used to going back to that default mode of telling them what to do, we just tell them as young adults, this is what you ought to be doing, and this is what you should be doing, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and stop doing this, and stop doing that, and stop doing this, and stop doing that. And we're still treating them like kids, even though we're dealing with adults. It can be a struggle if we're honest. Because I'm still a dad, and you're still a dad, or you're still a mom. And it's hard to just say, whoa, 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 before I start barking orders at my grown children, I may need to change my approach to this and see if I actually get a better response from them. I think some of us need to be honest and admit this. Sometimes as kids, we can get pretty demanding with our parents because they don't know how to take care of themselves anymore. And we forget we can still appeal to them from the basis of love rather than telling them what to do. Let's just be honest. How many of us have ever heard children talking to their parents like their parents were ignorant and didn't know what to do? Some of you may say, yeah, that's the way my kids talk to me right now. They act like I'm not smart enough to know when to come inside and what to do and how to take care of myself. And you'd probably have to admit that you don't care for that approach very much. Well, it would never be right for us to treat our parents that way. I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we can get into this bossy, commanding attitude where we'll tell you what to do rather than imploring from the basis of love. I'm just going to give us one more to consider and then we'll wrap this up. But have you ever noticed that sometimes people, when they're interacting with their friends, they know exactly what to tell their friends to do? You need to do this. Well, what you really need to do is this. Well, what you ought to be doing is this. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. No, you shouldn't be doing that. No, no, what you and your wife ought to be doing is this. And here's the reason why this is happening. It's because of this. And if you'd just do this, this would really change. Have you ever noticed how bossy people can get in their friendships? Rather than just approaching it maybe from the basis of love. You know, sometimes we forget that our friends don't need a dad or a mom in their life. At least not an extra one. Sometimes we forget that they're as old as we are and they've got as much life experience as we do. And maybe if they're going another direction and maybe they're making some decisions that aren't the best, yeah, there might need to be some changes in what they're doing. But it'd be a whole lot better received if we approached it from the basis of love than us telling them this is what you ought to be doing. Can I just tell you something? When someone who is a peer, when someone who is an equal to me tells me what I've got to do, you know what my response usually is? I'll prove to you I don't have to do what you just told me to do. I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we go into that default mode of telling people what they ought to be doing, even our friends, and that's not always the best approach to take with our friends. If we're always barking orders, if we're always telling people what to do, whether it be our spouse, whether it be our children, whether it be a family member, a parent, whether it be our friend, we might be able to tell them what we think. But if we take that route long enough, you know what people will eventually do? They'll tune us out, and they'll turn us off, and they'll be done with us. Brother Kyle, I know that. I'm so good at that. Really? Many of us, because of that authority that we know we have, we can be pretty bossy and pretty demanding at times. And it works against us more times than it works for us. I would challenge us, and I know some would be willing to take this challenge and others will just walk away saying, oh no, I've already got that whooped and handled. But I would challenge us to pay attention to how we interact with people. I already do that. No, we don't most of the time. Pay attention to how we interact with people. Pay attention to how you talk to your spouse and see if it's really with love or with that voice of authority. Listen to how you talk to your kids. And I don't mean your little kids who need that voice of authority. I mean the ones who are getting bigger to the point where they can start making some decisions on their own. Listen to how we're talking to them. Is it from love? Well, I always mean it from love. No, I mean with a tone of love and an appeal from love. Or is it bossy and hateful and I'll tell you what to do? I'm just saying it wouldn't hurt us to listen to ourselves, because many times we're not near as discerning as we ought to be in how we handle our relationships. We can command or we can love, but many times love will produce the same result and keep the relationship intact. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this morning. Lord, I acknowledge that my default mode is not always love. And Lord, whenever I'm not paying attention, and I can sure get bossy, I can get hateful, I can get demanding, and I can certainly tell people what they ought to be doing. And Lord, I don't think I'm the only one in here today who struggles with that. Lord, would you help us to be reminded today that sometimes we need to change the approach and we'll still get the same result. It can be handled so much better than how we often handle it. Would you help us, Lord, to listen to ourselves, to pay attention, to be honest? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.